We're out here today loving our neighbor, warning you about all aspects of the character and nature of God. God is goodness, grace, love, mercy, joy, hope, and peace. God is also fire, wrath, anger, judgment, and he lives out all of those. And we always ask our neighbor, which one are you going to get, the wrath of God or the grace of God? And a lot of that has to do with two factors. One factor is what Jesus Christ did for you, his death, burial, and resurrection, and how you respond to it. Now think about that. It's a covenant. It's a blood covenant. A covenant is an agreement of two parties. So Jesus Christ did his part perfectly. Came into the world, shed his blood, rose again, lived the perfect life for us, and continues to intercede for us. So by the blood of Jesus and your response to it, let's talk about your response to it. The Bible doesn't say just believe. Even the demons believe and tremble. The Bible doesn't say go to church on Sunday for an hour and a half. The Bible teaches that belief is an allegiance to Christ. That belief is to walk in all his ways. That to believe is to come to the place of trading your life for a new heart and a new mind through faith and repentance. And your desire, you get a new heart. Your desire is to walk in holiness and obedience to please God. It pleases God when his people obey him. I'm always amazed at people out here in the streets will tell me, oh, you're just trying to work your way to heaven, and you're just trying to do this to show off. And don't they understand? The Bible says it pleases God when his children obey him. Well, how do you obey God? That's a good question. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, they say, Solomon said, this is the duty of man, to fear God and keep his commandments. If you're not fearing God and keeping his commandments, and you're not coming out of the world, the wrath of God is upon you, neighbor. You're living like a worldly person, the wrath of God is coming for you. You have to turn and lose your worldly life and lose this life. So we're talking about obeying Jesus Christ because of what he's done. Christ's perfect work, and then your response to it, is the key to gaining eternal life. It's a covenant. It's of faith and works. Go read Hebrews 11. Go read James 2. Go read the book of Romans. Go read every book in the New Testament. Go read John 15. Go read Matthew 7. He sends away those that are workers of iniquity. And so that's why we come into the streets to warn our neighbor, to lift up the eternal truth of God and stop people from thinking that God's wrath isn't coming. It's not God bless America. God is not going to bless America. America's a wicked nation, paganized, feminized, sodomized, materialized. God is going to judge America and the world. The judgment has already started. As I said, men don't know they're men. Women don't know they're women. Children don't know their gender, supposedly, which is a lie. Drag queens entertaining toddlers. America has become unhinged. And that's what happens when you turn your back on God, the truth of God, the word of God. America is setting itself up for the wrath of God that's coming. The church systems are part of that wrath. They're part of the problem. They're telling you you're okay to live the way you want. They're telling you you could be of the world. Sports, politics, entertainment, movies. You can be none of these things and claim a holy Savior. Holy means set apart for the kingdom of God. Have you been set apart for the kingdom of God? It's not enough to say. We get it all the time. Oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. How you living? Oh yeah, I got faith in Jesus, I'm born again. Are you part of the world? Have you scoured descriptions like a Berean with a readiness of mind, prothumia is that word in Greek, I love that word, readiness of mind to receive the truth of God and to walk in his ways and to forsake all your sin and to come out of the world? That means the culture. Now, not long ago, I had somebody say to me, what's the world? Well, there's two worlds. There's the world that God created. It's perfect and good. The earth, the trees, man. And then there's the world that Satan has created. That's this place. Entertainment, sports, politics. This is Satan's kingdom that neighbors are walking in. And they need to be warned that this is Satan's kingdom. And you willingly walk through Satan's kingdom to partake. Paul tells us in his epistle, do not partake in the sins of other people. Jesus did not partake in the sins of other people. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He went where the lost were. He related to the lost. That's what we're doing today at this Worldly Muskie Festival. Relating to the lost, going there, reminding them about the goodness of God and warning them about the wrath of God that's coming against all disobedience. And only one sin will keep you out of the kingdom of God. One sin killed a couple in Acts 5. One sin put Adam and Eve out of the garden. One sin kept Moses out of the Holy Land. One sin killed two Levitical priests in Leviticus 10, bringing strange fire. So what one sin? Hey, one sin kept the rich man from giving away all of his stuff and following the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What one thing is going to keep you out of the kingdom of God? Maybe it's 20 things. Maybe you love your boat more than you love God. Maybe you love your four-wheeler more than you love God. Maybe you love your wife more than you love God. Maybe you love your 401k more than you love God. Maybe you love your pride, your vanity, how you dress and look more than you love God. That would make you an idolater, and no idolaters will inherit the kingdom of God. You have to repent and come out of your idolatry and your sin and embrace Christ. Walk in his ways. Be cleansed. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light, that means keep his truth. He is the light. We can be cleansed by Jesus. So if we confess it and we walk, John tells us, we can be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we can find new life and life everlasting. The problem is the American church system and the American culture has pride and thinks that it can do its own way and thinks that its church systems are approved of God when they're not approved of God at all. They're keeping many false pagan ways. The churches in America have mingled the culture and so-called churchianity together, and God's going to spew it out of his mouth. That's lukewarmness. The priests and the pastors are following either Roman Catholicism or some form of perverted evangelicalism that is far, far from the truth of God's word. We're going to talk about that as we go through the day. What is churchianity versus biblical faith following Jesus? You can't follow Jesus Christ keeping a bunch of false ways. You can't follow Jesus Christ keeping Sunday corrupt churchianity. You can't follow Jesus Christ. I met a lady the other day. She said, oh, I believe in Jesus. I said, test yourself, ma'am. She said, oh, no, I don't test myself. I said, you don't test yourself. She goes, I don't need to. I know what I'm doing. That's pride and arrogance to not test yourself against the holy word of God and to say, I know what I'm doing. No, you don't know what you're doing because you're living in sin and false ways. You You want to repent and seek the kingdom of God. You want to cry out to God and say, I am a sinner, I am worldly, I am carnal, I do want to feed my flesh, I do love the things of the world. And then what you do is you turn from it and you repent and you turn the other direction. That's what repentance is. Change your mind, change your ways, change your direction. And it'll change your direction on earth, and then it's going to change your direction in eternity. But you have to live it. It's a covenant like a marriage of two. Husband and wife agree. Marriage is between one man and one woman, by the way. And they agree and they live in a covenant together. And the covenant can be broken. And many people squander the truth of God to live after their own type of covenants. I think, I feel, I believe. That's not going to get you anywhere if it doesn't match the holy word of God. You see what I'm saying, neighbor? But there's a way to find out if what I'm telling you is true. Don't take my word for it. Open the Holy Scriptures and test everything to the Word of God that you're now living and doing and practicing and believing. The Bible says in 1 Thess 5, test all things. Unless you're testing all things, you won't get to truth. Do you ever notice something? People will test all the time. Oh, to get a college degree, they do tests. To become a police officer, they do tests. Become a doctor, they got to do a lot of tests. To become a school teacher, they got to do a lot of tests. To become an American citizen, they got to go through a whole bunch of stuff and then go through some testing and ask questions and see if they know what America's all about. People will do all kinds of testing for position or mammon or pride or vanity, like, here you go, getting in the Olympics, all kinds of tests and trials. But when it comes to the Word of God and holiness and obedience and righteousness and truth, pastors, pastors and priests and churchgoers will tell me, we don't have to test. What are you worried about testing everything for? We just live what we want to live, right? Jesus died for us and we're going to heaven. No, Jesus died for you, for the chance for you to go to heaven. But how do you apply his blood to your life? Not just by believing and living like the world. No. No. Your life must conform to his word. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, John 14. He said, you can be my friend if you keep my commandments, John 15. He said, abide in me, which means remain and walk in his word, to be a vine of his branch. Excuse me, a branch of his vine, John 15. So the Bible is clear, from the Old Testament prophets to the New Testament disciples to Jesus Christ, there's a narrow path to eternal life and broad is the road to destruction. And America and the church systems are on the broad road to destruction, but the narrow path is through Christ and his word and his truth alone. And unless you seek the narrow path, you have no hope of eternal life to come. What it means is, for many people, they're too pride-filled to admit, I've been doing it wrong for 25 years. I got to turn, do it God's way. And let me tell you how hard that is. I had to do it. Sister Amen had to do it. We had to confess that the man-made church systems we did for 20 years were false and wrong. Christmas, Easter, Good Friday, living like the world, feminization, lady pastors, pagan holidays of all kinds of things, 4th of July, Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, Halloween. We had to turn from the culture's ways. And the culture was opposite of God's ways. And when we were born again, The Holy Spirit gave us truth, and we wanted truth. See that confirmation? Not only did he give us truth, but we wanted the truth. If you don't want the truth, you probably have not been born again, because in John 16, Jesus said the Holy Spirit comes to teach you all truth. So if you're not desiring all truth today and desiring to grow in your holiness, you're probably not born of God. If you're not born of God, you're set for the wrath of God. Because the Spirit of God moves you to holiness and obedience. The Spirit of God moves you to righteousness, goodness, and truth. The pastors won't tell you this because it's going to empty their building. Because the churches are filled with a bunch of goats, not the sheep of God.
Christianity is fucking slavery. Stop, dude. Let people enjoy their lives.
I'm here lifting up Jesus Christ. You can't stop me. You kill me. There's the only...
Don't demand me to be a slave, you ignorant fuck.
You should watch your language around children. You should watch your language around children, sir. You should watch your language around children. We love you. You need to clean that up. Repent and seek the kingdom of God, sir. There's a hope for you. There's a chance for you. But you got to turn and repent. You got to lose this life. Man using vile words with little kids all over. I'm the bad guy. He's yelling about slavery or something in the Bible. I couldn't understand it. Then he dropped his kid's hat in the street and made himself look foolish. Many enemies of God. But we don't want our neighbor to be an enemy of God. We want you to be a friend of God. You can be a friend of God by keeping his commandments. The commandments of God are not grievous or hard to keep. We don't keep Torah law, the 613. We keep the moral law. Today we're resting in Jesus Christ and we keep the new covenant. But it does call you out of the world. It does call you out of every false church system. The churches are full of pagan holidays. The churches are full of Christmas and Easter and worldliness. The churches are full of pride and vanity. The churches are full of false doctrines of demons. And it's my job to call it out and call you to the only one that can save you and the only word that is the truth, Jesus Christ. Test yourself to it, neighbor. Loving you in the streets, lifting up King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Yeshua, his name means salvation.